To kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
We go to Christ the King preschool. We're in pre-K.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was from the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Quest.
And we love Christ the King Preschool here at AM 1160 The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager at The Quest, and this is the pledge drive, Thy Will Be Done. And we have a lot of things going on here today. Let's just jump right into this hour here. We have Deacon Jerry Kazin here. Welcome, Deacon.
From St. Benedict, and thanks for having us. It's the spring pledge drive for Quest, and I always am amazed of the goal to bring a million souls to Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and the purpose at Quest is to invite, to inform and inspire, and the service area of Quest, 3 million, three million. And so by your donation today, you can help Quest make the stories you're about to hear very widely available, and let God do the rest. Our call-in number today is 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160 to make a one-time or monthly donation for the life-changing mission of the station. Or you can donate or listen online at thequestatlanta.com or via the Quest mobile app. You can also listen on the mobile app. And Quest is 100% listener-supported, so we really rely heavily on this spring and fall pledge drive. We have a chapel next door.
Yeah, right on the other side of this wall.
And so if you call in, we take a donation, but also if you need some prayer, maybe a prayer today, or just want to have some intercession, then we can make that happen.
And can I just jump in here and say that for every person who donates, or if for some reason you can't swing a donation, we understand. If you just call in, we have a novena of masses that we're going to be saying for your family members who have fallen away from the faith.
Oh, fantastic.
So we do a lot of praying for our listeners. So go ahead, Deacon.
Fantastic. So this hour, we're going to talk about something that's very difficult to talk about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ignatius would say, when you think you can't speak, that's precisely when you need to speak to bring what's in darkness to the light. So this hour, we're going to speak about suicide. And we're going to talk to two parents whose teen son died by suicide. And, you know, some quick statistics from the CDC, and this is from 2020. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people ages 15 to 24. And in the U.S., nearly 20% high school students report serious thoughts of suicide, and 9% have made an attempt to take their lives. And this is from 2020. So what I would imagine, these statistics are probably even more so now. So suicide might be a really strange, you know, I think is a subject for today's theme of the pledge drive of Thy Will Be Done. But these words, Thy Will Be Done, not only Christ taught us how to pray, but he also, these words recall his obedience, obediently assuming our human nature to endure and show us how to triumph over temptation, suffering, and illness, and even mental illness, a mental illness that sometimes leads to self-harm, certainly suicide. So the words, Thy Will Be Done, remind us of Jesus leads us to triumph over despair that can lead to suicide. So we're here with Michelle and Jim Lang, who lost their son Noah to suicide about 5 years ago. So welcome, Michelle and Jim. And I guess maybe the best way to begin is just tell our audience a little bit about yourselves.
Okay, so Jim and I have been married 34 years. We have three beautiful children. We have two beautiful in-laws. So our surviving children live in Florida And obviously Noah lives in heaven with Jesus. I'm a cradle Catholic. Jim came into the church by the RCIA program, which was kind of appropriate that the conversation before this was RCIA.
From last hour, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Jim came in via RCIA with our son-in-law. And what else? We're very active members in St. Benedict's. Jim belongs to the Knights. I teach religious education.
As Michelle mentioned, I came through the RCIA program and am now helping teach the RCIA program and our RCIA program for teens. So I've been digging more into that Catholic religion as well.
So, and we've been active members for about 10 years at St. Benedict's.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for your courage to speak about something that's difficult to talk about. You're listening to The Quest. Our call number is 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. So, with respect to your story, why don't you tell us just a little bit about Noah?
Noah had a very strong faith. He did a lot of mission trips with the church. He got into a lot of the activities with the youth ministries and the teen religious education. Steubenville was one of his favorite experiences, particularly the
adoration.
Thank you. The adoration program that they ran at Steubenville. And that interaction with other kids of the same mindset. He was also quite active in Boy Scouts. He was 15 at the time that he died. He was only weeks away from finishing his Eagle Scout project, which was something he was really looking forward to. He had gotten quite a few other teens, both from the church teen group and the Boy Scout group, to work on his Eagle project. It was one of his big achievements. He was big into marching band. You can see a lot with a lot of these things, it was group stuff. He really liked hanging out with other kids his age, especially other kids that were in the same mindset that he was.
Which was faith.
Of it was faith-based. When he did those mission trips, a lot of what he did in particular was about helping, directly helping other kids. A lot of these mission trips are about doing things in particular. He particularly enjoyed working with other kids. One of the things he got wrapped up in on his last mission trip to St. Thomas to help out the poor Catholic communities there was actually working with the younger kids to tutor them in their math lessons. And he came home, talked a lot about that and working with these kids.
So he's close to, I remember just seeing him around the church. I remember the flag retirement ceremony. He would organize, you know, and the benches, you know, that he made for, I guess, was that his Eagle Scout?
That was part of his Eagle project.
So it's just, it's just a beautiful boy. And I think, you know, your purpose for speaking today is to reach someone who's out there, may have suicidal thoughts, maybe a parent or a friend of someone who has those thoughts, or maybe even people think that can't happen to me or my family, right? And so we're especially, you have some messages there. And one, I think, is there are some myths. From your experience, you've learned these myths that you know, I guess we could dispel. But before we do that, let me reset. So you're listening to The Quest, our spring pledge drive. That's 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. You can make a one-time pledge, or you can support it online on thequestatlanta.com, or hit the app for the Quest app and hit the Listen Live button or the Donate button. So if you could.
Deacon, sure. Could I just jump in here real quick? We got some people I want to thank for supporting The Quest. Robert and Carla from Buchanan, Georgia. Also, Augusto from Decatur, and that's in honor of Dallas, who was here last hour. Bill, shout out to his brother Dallas again. He's from Roswell. Patsy and Mark from Atlanta. Kathy from Lilburn. We've got Mike P. and then Paul and Margaret have donated, and also Emily B. In honor of Deacon Jerry and Sally, your wife.
Oh, wonderful.
From Fayetteville, Arkansas. So thank you very much. We appreciate the support. And I just want to mention, too, that everybody who becomes a monthly donor, no matter what the amount is, going to get a Quest coffee mug.
Awesome.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I got one of those, and they're great.
Yeah, they are. Okay, Deacon.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for all of you who are supporting the Quest. So, Michelle and Jim, what are some of those myths, you know, that you'd like that audience to hear?
Well, first of all, one of the things, Jerry, that Jim and I want to say is that this is our story, and every story is going to be different. So some of the myths that, you know, we may mention are kind of key more to our story. They may be other people's stories, but this is what was key to our story.
That's a great point.
And the first one is that there's a finite list of signs that should be observable in order to detect whether or not a young person or any person is susceptible to suicide. During Suicide Prevention Month, we always hear about the 10 signs. Sadly, our son Noah did not exhibit any one of those 10 signs. So anybody I talked to, I said, you've got to be aware of that 11th sign, which is there is none. There is no clue. There is nothing that will show you or tell you that, hey, this person's in a crisis situation.
Right. There may be some signs, but there's not a finite list.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that feeds into that too is, you know, since we had that problem of not having any indicators, is we advocate for talking to your kids, talking to people about this. And a lot of the feedback we get there is, well, I'm afraid to say something, to talk to my kids about this issue. I don't want to give them ideas that, you know, this could be an out for them or this could be an option for them. And from our experiences with talking to other parents, particularly of some survivors of suicide, is those ideas are out there. You're not going to put any ideas into their head. If they're worried about it, if they're thinking about it, they're already thinking about it. And your intervention to talk to them about it and explain to them why this is a bad idea and you know the impact of doing something like this, you're not giving them any new ideas. You're coaching them on ways around that as an idea and other options aside from suicide to solve their problems.
Right. I think that is a huge myth that you can't speak about it. Otherwise, you're going to give someone the idea. Right. So that is a myth. I've heard professionals dispel that myth. We have to talk about it.
Exactly. So, I mean, we talk to our kids about stranger danger, about not doing drugs. We need to start talking to our kids about where they are in their mental health and what are the things that they're thinking about.
Right. Right. You're listening to Quest Radio. This is our spring pledge drive. And you can donate by dialing 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160, or go to thequestatlanta.com. So what else? Any other myths that come to mind? I mean, that people who take their life are selfish, or they're cowards, or, I mean, that's another thought.
That is, and I would not ever have used any of those words to describe Noah. In fact, some of the young people that we have learned who have passed from suicide, I would not even attach those adjectives to who they were. I mean, these are smart, intelligent, outgoing, love sports, love Christ. None of it would be is selfish as what we can see on the outside. But here again, we don't know. Mental illness is that new frontier we're just now starting to understand.
Yes.
And so to label somebody who has taken their own life as selfish, or as a coward or weak,
Right.
We can't do that because we just don't know.
You can't see inside. It's not like they have on their forehead, you know, I need help, you know.
Yeah.
I think another one is another myth that I just personally am aware of is that, you know, when someone talks about suicide, they're not serious, right?
Oh.
There are some two groups of people that we end up with here, those that attempt suicide and survive and those that attempt suicide and are successful at it. And that group of them that survive, that's where that myth comes in, that there was just a cry for help or whatever. No, that is just as much of a mental health issue. They need that attention. They need to go get that professional help. You know, that's just as serious as the ones that actually succeed.
Yeah, and I think that ties back to the last one. There's this stigma that I am weak or whatever. They're ashamed to go get help, and they don't. And I watch that to be the biggest travesty because they do need the help, but they're afraid of what people might think. And as this becomes more illuminated, you know, we're going to talk about out of darkness and that walk of out of darkness. As people become more aware of this, I think they're going to realize that that's a lie. And you know, another lie I think that frustrates me in ministering in the church is the lie that suicide is the only way out, to ease the pain or whatever crisis that they're facing.
Correct.
Yeah.
But in order to help them, we have, you know, I know this is going to sound strange, but the onus belongs to all of us. You know, the child or the person contemplating suicide has to know that whoever they go to is going to take that cry for help seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to dispel the myth that, you know, that they're not serious. If somebody comes to you and they tell you that they are contemplating, it's serious.
Sure.
You need to stop everything and get them the help that they need.
Yeah.
Because we're not trained professionals. But as a parent, if our Noah would have come to us and said, you know, I'm starting to have these thoughts, we would have dropped everything.
Sure.
But you have to, but as parents, we don't know. We didn't know.
Yeah.
And in fact, this can be the complete opposite of being a weakness. In fact, from what we've seen is it's actually more of a stubbornness. Okay. They want to be strong. They're trying to solve this problem. They're going to do it themselves. So there's that stubbornness that plays into it that I don't want to ask for help. I don't need any help. I can handle this problem myself. And the solution that they come to could be suicide then.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you say to the parent to dispel another one of those myths that, well, my child's not susceptible to this. That's never happened in my family. That can't happen to my child because they're loved, they're cared for, all of these things. What do you say to them?
That's exactly the problem that we were in. We didn't see this as being a problem with Noah. Why this could not possibly impact us.
We had no family history of mental health. We had no history of anybody ever communicating that they were going to help themselves or hurt themselves.
Right.
Yeah. The myth is there.
Yeah. And so... So you're listening to The Quest, Atlanta, Catholic Radio, and our spring pledge drive. You can dial 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160, or you can go online, thequestatlanta.com, and donate there to help the station. I think, and then maybe one of those other myths, another big one, is that in the aftermath of suicide, a family member, a parent, a friend would say, it's my fault, or blame themselves, or that they're a bad parent or they're a bad friend because they didn't prevent this. You know, what do you say to that?
We went down that same path. You know, when our son died, the first thing was, okay, we have to be bad parents. We did not see this coming. As parents, we should know everything about our child. We should know the thoughts that they're thinking. We should know every action that they're doing. But yet, you know, as a young teen, you got to give them their space.
Sure.
as active as Noah was in church and scouts and all the other, and marching band and the other organizations, he was a happy, healthy teenage boy. We never saw any of these things coming. And that kind of goes into that lull that if your child doesn't show one of the 10 signs, so going back to the very first myth that we talked about, my son or daughter don't exhibit one of these 10 signs, I must be in the clear. Mm-hmm. My kid, this is the farthest thing from the truth. And sadly, since COVID, we've seen the statistics of teenage suicide rise. So it can happen. It happens in good families. It happens in good Catholic families. So, yeah, it can happen to any of us.
And that sense of guilt wasn't just limited to Michelle and I. Noah's brother and sister are older than he is, quite a bit older than he is, and they felt that guilt too. It impacted them just as much as it impacted Michelle and I, but in different ways. So that sense of guilt was something that we've all had to deal with in the 5 years since Noah died.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond the family. Our daughter-in-law, Cheyenne, had not become our daughter-in-law yet. Hmm. She's a trained professional for the police department. And at the time, she worked in for Cobb County. And so she had been trained how to recognize these signs.
Sure.
And she was just getting to know Noah. And the two of them were developing this really awesome relationship. And she felt guilty. And she wasn't even yet a member of our family because she thought she should have seen something.
Sure.
Because she was a trained professional.
Yeah. See, there's always that self-blame after this, or Jim used the word guilt, right? So you're listening to Quest Atlanta Catholic Radio on our spring pledge drive. You can donate to Quest at 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160, or you can go to thequestatlanta.com or use the mobile app.
Deacon, can I just jump in
please.
Here? There's some people I want to thank because it's the generosity of these listeners who keep this station on the air. I mean, that's the only way we exist is from the listeners. So I really want to make sure we take time to thank Jeannie from Flowery Branch. That's in honor of you, Deacon Jerry.
Well, thank you, Jeannie.
Uh-huh. Lori from Roswell. Sally, you know a Sally, don't you, from Duluth?
Sally. Thank you, Sally.
That's in honor of all three of you. Giselle from Atlanta. Eileen from Berkeley Lake, in honor of Deacon Jerry and this important topic, she says. And it is a very important topic, yes. Also, Julia P. from Marietta and Warren from Atlanta, we thank you very much for your generosity to keep the Quest on the air so that we can have important topics like this, Deacon.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you for helping fuel the ability to reach people with this kind of information. I think one minute before we break, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk in the second half hour about, you know, some things that you'd suggest, some resources you used, you know, as parents to really help you through this terrible time afterward. And so there's some great resources there. But, you know, to someone who says that suicide is not preventable, I mean, What do you think when somebody says that? Given some of the resources that are there, given the gift of faith, you know, in dealing with these things, and someone who's thinking maybe in themselves that there is no way out, it's not preventable.
That's why we're here today, Jerry. Is the way we can prevent this, the way we need to work around this, is talking about it. All right. Suicide, mental health in general, mental health issues in general, nobody wants to talk about them. Everybody wants to kind of sweep it under the rug. You know, we're talking about the guilt and the shame and all that. Nobody wants to talk about it. And that's why it's as big of a problem as it is. So we're out here to talk about this, explain our story. If we can get through to just a few more kids, a few more people, that there are other options, that there are resources, that, you know, there are many other people that feel the same way you do, we can work through it. That's the key. We need to talk about it. You need to talk about it with your family, we need to talk about it, you know, as a societal or a community standpoint, and get the word out that it's okay to talk about this. We can get through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're listening to The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. It's the Quest Spring Pledge Drive. To make a pledge or donation now, call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160, or go online at thequestatlanta.com. You can use the Quest Atlanta mobile app and just click the Donate or Listen buttons. I think we're coming up close to a break. So when we come back from the break, our guests, Michelle and Jim Lang from St. Benedict, speaking on the difficult subject of suicide, they'll continue sharing their story, their personal story, about suicide, and provide some helps to listeners who may be dealing with suicide in some way. And it's a discussion that you won't want to miss. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our Spring Pledge Drive, where the theme is Thy Will Be Done. After hearing these stories of God's will, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
Brenda Sharman, the issue we're going to talk about today is modesty.
Parents have to start from a very young age, helping their young ladies to understand modesty. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, so we need to clothe them appropriately. From a young age, a girl needs to hear these words, and then it needs to be backed up by her father.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
How many times have we heard, my body, my choice? Yes, a woman can do what she wants with her own body. If she really wants a tattoo or to rock that pink hair, by all means, she has that right. However, a woman does not have the right to choose what is going to be done to another person. If she were forced to have pink hair or forced to jump off a bridge, the person who made those decisions for her would have violated her rights. No one would disagree with that. However, when a woman decides to kill her child by having an abortion, that decision doesn't affect only her body, but it also affects another person's body, the body of her child. That choice infringes upon the child's rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No person's rights are more important than any other person's rights. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com. The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
You are amazing and wonderful and enough. I think oftentimes we fall into comparison traps and we think, I'm not good enough or I'm not like this person. Sally has her kids in dance, or Sarah's kids are on honor roll, whatever. Like, the Lord knows that you are who's best for your children, right? And your main goal as a mom is to get your kids to heaven. It doesn't really matter. Like, when you get to heaven, St. Peter's not like, hey, did you play 5 seasons of soccer? No. Oh, you had a bad mom. Or were you on the honor roll? Oh, your mom didn't try hard enough with those flashcards. No, your job as a mom is to love your children, help them to know, love, and serve our Lord, and get them to heaven. And the best mom you could be is accepting who you are. Be the best you can be. You can't be Cameron Frad. You would be a horrible Cameron Frad. I can't be my friend Julia, who's amazing and wonderful. I need to be me. So be you, be yourself, and get your kids to heaven.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
We've all heard it said before.
Catholics aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth, and it ends there. Pro-lifers don't care about mothers or babies after they're born.
But that's simply not true. Help take away that pro-abortion talking point by supporting Walking with Moms in Need.
an initiative helping pregnant and parenting women in need. Your parish is called to help these moms in need. Some parishes in the Archdiocese already have this program in place, providing a variety of assistance to moms, including things like maternity clothing, children's clothing, diapers, and having baby showers for moms who chose life. Your time, talent, and treasure are needed. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is asking each parish to create their own Walking with Moms in Need program. If your parish has not started the program, ask how you can help start it. To learn more about Walking with Moms in Need and how you can help, go to walkingwithmoms.com.
Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive. On AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at AM 1160, The Quest. And we are, like you heard, the Thy Will Be Done is the theme of this pledge drive. And we have Deacon Jerry Kazin in here talking with Jim and Michelle Lang, who lost their son to suicide a few years ago. So I just want to mention, too, that anybody who donates during this pledge drive, during any of the 3 days, or if you can call in, if you can't donate, that's fine. We understand that. But even if you call in, you're going to be entered to win a drawing for Mary's Yes. And that's a painting by,
very good.
A local artist, Sally Kazin, who may be some relation to Jerry Kazin.
I know her well.
Okay. Yeah. So, and it's a beautiful painting. I haven't seen it, but I've seen some of her other works, and it is beautiful. So I just want to say that's an added incentive. We want to thank Eileen. In Atlanta, and that's in honor of the Lang family. So thank you. And also Renee from Alpharetta for donating. We appreciate that, Deacon. Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much. And just a reminder, you know, the theme of this pledge drive is Thy Will Be Done. Mm-hmm. And those words remind us of Christ who died and showed us how to triumph over our human condition and suffering. And he wants to set us free from the oppression, the obsession. And that's kind of the subject we're talking about in suicide, is that he wants us to be free from whatever burdens us that might lead us to self-harm that way. So this is the Quest Spring Pledge Drive. We'll take your pledge any way you want to give it, a one-time gift, monthly donors, become a dollar a day member. And get a coffee mug. Or become part of Quest St. Gabriel Society with a pledge of $20 or more a month. If you're a business owner listening, you can donate. We have business sponsorships or matching fund programs to help us help your business. However you'd like to support Quest, we're grateful in any way you'd want to do that. To make a donation, to set up a challenge or set up a matching funds, call right now, 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160, or go online at thequestatlanta.com, or use the Quest Atlanta mobile app and just click the donate button. So this half hour, we'll be listening again to Jim and Michelle, speaking with great courage about their personal story of losing their son to suicide. In the first half hour, you dispelled some common myths about suicide and revealed the truths, I should say, you know. Speaking openly about suicide, won't give someone the thoughts about suicide that they didn't already have. That suicide is an illness, and we see this in our catechism, actually. And it's in the catechism, paragraph 2280 to 2283. It's not simply a choice or a weakness, and that there aren't always obvious signs of someone who has suicidal thoughts. And in this half hour, Jim and Michelle, could you just share a little bit how your faith helped you to cope with the death of your son Noah to suicide?
I'll be completely honest with you. When it first happened, we realized what happened and we're dealing with the immediate aftermath, my initial reaction, or one of my initial reactions, was to be extremely angry with God.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very difficult thing to go through. Why would God do this to us?
Why would God do it to one of his own children, or allow one of his own children?
Right.
And I agree with Jim. I was angry. But that's one of the normal progressions of, I can't think of the word.
The mourning process.
Yeah, the grieving process. Yes. And my neighbors, they probably thought I was a crazy woman. I would have knocked down, drag out fights with God in my backyard. But our God is a loving God. Our God has broad shoulders. And, you know, even after yelling and screaming at him, I could still feel his love wrapping me up in his arms, saying, keep, you know, give it to me. You know, I'm here. I can take it. You know, I understand the anger. But, you know, don't walk away from me. I'm not walking away from you.
I was just going to say, even if you're turning to him in your anger, you're turning to him.
Yeah.
What a huge point, you know, and he, you know, that dialogue is necessary, right?
He's got broad shoulders. He can take the screaming and yelling at him.
Yeah. And I think in watching his son be tortured and murdered for the good that comes from that, he experiences the loss of a child.
Exactly.
He knows. Yep. He knows.
Well, and even Mother Mary, she was one of them. After I got through the anger, she has been the one that I turn to, because this is a journey. This is a never-ending journey. But who else, you know, when this first happened, she was one of the first people I turned to, because she lost her son. It's that psychological, parents aren't supposed to bury their children. And who better to turn to? Because she had to bury her son.
Yeah. You directly, you know, connected with our blessed
exactly.
mother. Yeah. Well, you're listening to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta Spring Pledge Drive, and you can donate by dialing 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160, or going to thequestatlanta.com or using the Quest mobile app. Jim and Michelle, the degree by which the community wrapped around you, you know, like your community support, what would you say?
Well, the community support in general is really what got us through this. And there's many aspects to that. It was our family that was supporting us, that we were supporting them. Obviously, we talked about those guilt aspects and all that. So us all supporting each other, our friends, even coworkers, once they found out about it, and the support we got from them and the well wishes. But the biggest single thing that got me, at least, through this was that faith community that I fell back on. In planning Noah's funeral, the Knights of Columbus stepped up and were so supportive. They provided everything that we could ask for. They helped us all along the way. The folks at church that helped us every step of the way, taking some of the burden of planning this so we didn't have to think through it quite so much. It was that faith support that really got me through it in particular. And I fell back on Noah's faith. We talked about how Noah was and how he was involved in the missions in Steubenville and the youth ministry at church. Knowing how strong his faith was went a long way to helping me let my faith get me through this hard time as well.
Well, and one of the things is that, you know, we have Quest Radio, and at the time I wasn't aware of it. But as we've been asked to do this interview, I've started listening to Quest, and that's part of a community. That's your digital community. That's your virtual community. And the speakers that have been on this show on Quest, and the topics have been discussed. I wish I would have known about them back then, because those things now are bringing me comfort, and they could have brought me comfort back in the beginning when the hurt was just unimaginable.
Yeah, day by day.
Yeah.
You know? And so what I hear you saying is there were many, especially Noah's network, if you will.
Yes.
You know, there were many ways and aspects of society that were supporting you, if you were open to that, right? Which it sounds like you were. You may have been angry, and as opposed to isolating and staying away from them, you opened yourself to them, and especially the one you emphasize is the church. you know, the nights and the different ways that people reached out to there. What else related to the church? I mean, was that difficult to come to Mass? You know, people coming up to you or not coming up to you, you know, and maybe what they said and what they didn't say, you know?
For me, it was the Eucharist and Mass that kept me going. Mm-hmm. Mass was hard. Music was hard. Certain gospel readings were hard to hear. Mm. But it was always the liturgy of the Eucharist and going up and receiving Jesus. And just what it did inside is, you know, it gave me that peace that I needed, even if it was just right at that very moment.
Yeah.
But it ended up carrying me, that peace that Jesus gives us through the Eucharist is what carried me through to next week's Mass.
Right.
One of the other beautiful things we have at St. Benedict is our Adoration Chapel. Mm. And a very dear friend introduced me. I'd never gone to Adoration before, maybe here or there, but never, you know, just to release myself to Jesus in that kind of way. And the first time she brought me to Adoration, I cried for an entire hour.
Wow.
I just opened up myself to Jesus and said, "You have him. What do I do now?"
Yeah, yeah. You're listening to Jim and Michelle Lang speaking on the very difficult subject of suicide. This is the Quest Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is our spring pledge drive. You can donate by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. You're going to thequestatlanta.com or going to the Quest Atlanta mobile app and the donate button.
Deacon Jerry, can I just jump in here real quick? And I just want to expand on what Michelle was saying about how she wished she knew about the Quest when this happened, that people get a lot out of the Quest, and they get in times of sorrow or anger or whatever it is, or if you just want to learn more, people get that from the Quest. There's such a diverse programs on the Quest, from, you know, the Sunrise Morning Show that informs you to, you know, Called to Communion and Catholic Answers and
the Rosary while you're driving.
The Rosary, absolutely. And that's available on demand if you have the app. So many things are available on demand. But to keep all this going, to support all the local people in Atlanta, it takes the listeners. It takes support from the listeners. And that's why we're having this pledge drive. Thy will be done is the theme. And the number, once again, you just said it, but I'll say it again, 470-508-1160. TheQuestAtlanta.com has a donate button, as does the Quest Atlanta app on your cell phone or tablet.
And the good thing about the different programs you said there, I mean, the diversity. Everybody's different. You know, this is your, Jim and Michelle, this is your story, right?
Exactly.
And unfortunately, there are too many stories out there, but they're all a little bit different, and there's great variety, you know, to partake of for whatever support you do need. Now, so Jim and Michelle, I'm sure there was a point where you said, "I need help. I need therapy." So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, from the get-go, we needed therapy. I could not imagine, but the therapy that we went through was a Catholic therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So our therapist was actually at St. Brendan's. Mm-hmm. She was a member of St. Brendan's. So it was really important to us that we not only got that counseling, but we got that faith counseling that, you know, being Catholic can bring to that conversation. Individual counseling, our children chose to go to counseling on an individual basis. We did a family counseling session within a week. I highly recommend seeking that therapy, because as a family, we're all going through it, and we're all feeling the hardship that comes with when you lose a child to suicide. We could not help each other.
Yeah.
We needed somebody else to be able to help us, so that when we got home, we could support each other instead of looking to the other as a therapist.
Correct. And you did it as a family, again, you have different needs. Each person is different, right? And then probably there's also the friends of Noah's friends, you know, that may have needed that.
Yeah. In fact, Noah belonged to Chattahoochee, and that was one of the first things the school did, is they brought in therapists for all of his friends.
Great. Yeah.
And we started off with that family therapy so that we could all, you know, deal with and get in touch with those emotions or define those emotions to the point where then we move to the individual therapy to work on those individual emotions. And you know, everybody reacts differently. So each member of the family was able to deal with that as they needed to.
Right.
But that initial family therapy with the support from each other in that big session to start defining that process was invaluable.
So that's a huge point, is that formal professional therapy is required. Don't think you can do this without it. Yeah, muscle through to deal with it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Right? There are unhealthy ways to deal with grief. But certainly, if there's difficulty dealing with it in a healthy way, then you need professional help. And that's nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
You both mentioned also the aspect of your prayer and your prayer life to help you through this.
And, you know, when you're dealing with anything like this, that, you know, first of all, we started out by yelling at God. And, you know, that is a form of prayer. That's the beginning of it. And as we worked through it, we were able to refine that prayer process down. Michelle mentioned adoration. I was there, too. I got into the adoration and having, you know, going in and just having that hour of one-on-one time to have a conversation with God in an organic fashion. Okay. I didn't sit there. Well, I did. I would start off with a rosary or something, but then it got more and more organic and just became more of a conversation with God.
Awesome.
And I just let that go where it needed to. And it would go in different directions depending on what support, what my emotions were at each phase of the way in dealing with this. So that organic evolution of prayer help me get through it.
And that's a really important point. You say organic, but that's where conversations go, right?
Yeah.
They go
that's
where they
we're
go.
Doing now.
Right? And that's exactly right. And then, you know, bridging then from prayer, you also mentioned journaling, right? And let me just reset here. So you're listening to The Quest Atlanta Catholic Radio. You can donate to our spring pledge drive by dialing 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to thequestatlanta.com or use the Quest Atlanta mobile app. So, Jim, Michelle, about journaling, you said that might be therapeutic for you.
Yeah, one of my beautiful friends turned me on to journaling. And one of the things I ended up doing was using my journal as kind of like a prayer conversation with Jesus. Those things that were weighing heavy on my heart, you know, always asking why, and I couldn't let it go. And so to journal, it allowed me to write those questions and concerns and those heartaches and the pains and the joys that I was going through, and I could give those to God, and I didn't have to worry about them anymore. And then as it progressed, my journaling turned into prayer. My journaling turned into letters to my son in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as certain things came around, one of the last things he did as an altar server was he served at the Feast of Corpus Christi. And I said, you know, so when things like that come around, I go, yeah, I'll write him a letter and say, Noah, what is it like? You know, what's the experience of something so beautiful here on earth, there in heaven? So I use it as not only my communication with my son, but my communication to Jesus to allow me to just let certain things go.
Yeah.
Because I know I've given it to him. I've written it down. And then I just walk away and let him worry about it.
So journaling was a way that you could express the depths of your heart.
Exactly.
In a way, you know, and it couldn't, many people are, you know, very different in this regard. Some just have to speak, but I would say they need to find a really good listener. And I would say a good listener is someone who's not going to judge you or fix you because you're not broken. And you know, they're in no position to judge.
Right.
They just have to repeat back what they heard, and you just need to be heard.
I just needed to be heard. And sometimes, Jerry, that listener is not available at 3 a.m. in the morning.
And no offense, Jim, it may not be your spouse, right?
Exactly.
Or it could be somebody that's, you know, whatever. So just find a good listener, I guess.
And there isn't a better listener than Jesus himself.
And than the Lord. That's exactly right. So as we're getting close to the end of this half hour, so Jim and Michelle, what would you say to a listener, very serious, about someone who's right now maybe thinking about suicide? What would you say to them?
Talk about it.
Talk to somebody, anybody, a teacher, a counselor, your band leader, your best friend, your pastor, the deacon of your church, your youth minister. There are so many people who are there to help you, and they're not going to judge you. It's a cry for help, and as parents who've gone through it, we now are more cognizant. I've personally have had at least one person come up, and I'm like, let's get you some help.
Yep. Yeah, and we're going to talk about some of those resources,
yeah,
what they are. But I think the biggest part for someone to take that step of getting outside themselves and speaking is to have that courage, reject the lies that the enemy would like us to have, that they won't understand, they're going to judge me, there's something wrong with me, whatever. They just got to push through that and speak it and bring it to the light verbally. So
yeah,
really good point.
We've talked about all the avenues that we had to go through for support, for help in dealing with it. It's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. Don't be stubborn, okay? Needing to go and talk to somebody, we've talked to many people in the aftermath of it. Talking to somebody is not a sign of weakness. You can talk to people, you can get help. It's a sign of strength to go to that point.
Sure. And I guess In the way of the sacrament of reconciliation, that's a very private place. If they're concerned about confidentiality or something, that could be a good place,
yeah,
in the confidence of a priest. And then what would you say to, you know, the parents or friends that know someone that's thinking about suicide? What would you say to them?
Well, obviously, if it's somebody that's thinking about it, if you know that, is to get them help. If there's indications that there's something going on there, you know, you can take that and build on it. Get them help. Go through different avenues, whatever avenues you need to. More importantly is, in our experience, is the ones that don't show signs or you don't know that are going down this path. Is even if you don't think it's a problem, talk about it. Talk to your kids about it in particular. Talk to family and friends about it. The more it gets out there, the more likely somebody is to seek help, even if you don't know that they need help, even if they're not showing signs of needing help.
Yeah. And you know, when you talk about the resource for help, I didn't know until recently that there is a nationally established phone number, and that's 988. In the same way that we have 911, 911,
right,
for, you know, a physical emergency, 988 was established in this country for mental crises, especially a suicide. So if someone out there is thinking about suicide or someone knows someone, one resource certainly would be to dial 988, text or call 988, just like you'd dial 911 for a physical emergency.
Exactly. And we didn't know that until we started doing the Out of Darkness walk.
Correct. And I want to talk about that. So, and then what would you say, I guess, to a parent or friend who can't imagine that someone they love or know would do this?
Well, that's what I just talked about there for a minute, too, is you know, talk about it. Keeping it in the dark, and that's why I call it Out of Darkness,
yeah,
one of the reasons, but keeping it in the dark, not talking about it, just makes it seem like it's an evil thing, that it's a bad thing.
It's a taboo.
Yeah, you can't. You know, we have to walk in eggs around it. We can't discuss this issue. So if somebody's thinking about it, they're not going to talk about it because they think they can't.
Right.
That's the key. Talk. We need to get it out there. We need to get the information out there.
Yeah, and just a very brief, tell us about Out of Darkness. You've mentioned Out of Darkness.
So Out of Darkness is AFSP. It's the Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And every November here in the Atlanta area, they do a walk. It's a 1K, it's a walk around Piedmont Park. But it's a great way to bring folks together who have lost loved ones to suicide, bring it into the light, make people more aware of it, and raise the funds so that they can do things such as suicide prevention talks in the schools.
And suicide awareness programs.
Awareness programs. Right. So we do that.
And they hold these walks nationwide. Right. We all got into doing the one here in Atlanta when my older kids moved and their spouses moved to Florida. They started getting involved in one of them that's around the Orlando area. So you can find these all over the place.
Very good. So Out of Darkness. Awesome. So Jim and Michelle, we just want to thank you for your courage and strength to share your story about the difficult subject of suicide. In hopes to help someone thinking about suicide or their family or friends. And to our listeners, if you or someone you know is thinking about suicide, listen to your conscience, act, take the issue seriously, and use the National Mental Health Crisis Hotline by dialing 988 or texting, just like you dial 911 for a physical emergency. We hope that you listeners, by this sharing, it's been helpful to demonstrate the role of faith and the power of Catholic radio here at The Quest to enable this story and God's saving grace to come from this station. And Jim and Michelle, thank you for making your story and telling us and showing us what can happen with the pledges that we've received today. Mm-hmm. And maybe right now you're thinking, I ought to give something to The Quest. So please find all kinds of reasons not to call, but please call. So if you're driving right now, pull over and give us a call. We need everybody to help. 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. I think we still have some matching funds and just a few, literally another minute left on this hour.
Well, I want to thank a few people here.
Sure.
Renee from Kennesaw, that's in honor of Allison DeLul and Steve Balmez, who was in the 4 and 5 o'clock hours yesterday. David and Deed, or Deedee, I'm not sure. They're from Dunwoody, and that's in honor of the Sisters of Visitation in Snellville. Rachel from Ava, Missouri, thank you very much. Susie S. from Sewanee, in honor of Jim and Michelle Lang and their beautiful son, Noah. Miriam T. from Cumming, that's for Michelle and Jim. Connect Bible Study loves you, that's what she says. And Jim Rowley, or Jim from Atlanta, we thank you very much for your support. This is The Quest. Deacon Jerry, thank you very much. Jim and Michelle Lang, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.